What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. It is episode number 33. I'm talking episode number Patrick Ewing, number Scottie Pippen, number Larry Bird, number Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, episode 33. All the greats wear 33, and I've got a great guest on the show today. I'm talking Lee Jennings, singer of The Funeral Portrait. Lee's going to be talking to me about touring. He's going to be talking about overcoming the odds. Recently had a lot of lineup changes, and he was talking about how it's a very dark and difficult time for him, but he was able to just power through, and he's got a new lineup, and they're right back on tour starting this week, guys. So I'll be posting all the social media, all the tour dates, so you can check them when they come to your city. And then we're going to, be talking about, you know, Pokemon cards and Magic the Gathering and all kinds of other fun stuff. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. I've known Lee for a while. Great guy. We could have had five hour-long episodes. So he's going to be definitely coming back here in the future. Great episode. Great dude. Check that out. Also, guys, I want to thank every new listener that's coming around and started checking out the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Or, of course, if you've been a dedicated fan, thank you so much. Welcome back. The numbers have been spiking. There's some sort of magic in the air. You guys have been telling your friends, obviously, because I had the best week numbers-wise out of any week since the start of the show. So, and that means a lot to me. And the week before was excellent as well with the Fox Bat episode. So, yeah, there's something in the air, some sort of magic, and I appreciate it. I could not do it without you guys. Also could not do it without my great sponsor, Shane, at audiophileinc.com. Shane prints all my merch. He prints all merch for pretty much everyone here in the Louisville area. He can print your merch, too, whether you're in a band or you have a podcast, a business, an idea, something. Shane can put it on a garment. And you can sell it for promotion, or you can just wear it around the house. I enjoy wearing my own Sean vs. Wild t-shirts. You probably see me going to shows wearing my own band t-shirt, passing out the flyers. Hey, man, I got to promote. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Shane at Audiophile Inc. will get you all set up. He's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in, because he does ship to all 50 nifty United States from 13 original colonies. And so if you want to check that out, go to audiophileinc.com and give Shane a call or shoot him an email. That's audiophileinc.com, audiophileinc.com. Also got to give a big thank you to Joe Brock. As always, he booped the dials for this episode. He booped the dials on last week's episode. Not only did he boop the dials, but he was a guest on the episode before that. So big shout out to Joe Brock for always helping me. You always got my back, bro, and I appreciate you very much. One of these days, I'm going to take you out to a delicious seafood lunch. So, yeah. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in again this week. If you like what you hear, like, share, and subscribe. I noticed a lot of uptick on my social media lately. Noticed a lot of new listens, like I said. So keep up the great work. I appreciate each and every one of you. And, yeah. That's enough for me. I had a long intro last week. I'm going to keep it short and sweet this week. Just dial in, turn your 8 tracks on record, boop this up to 12, and let's get wild. You know, usually I would just go in here and say, hey, episode 33, are you a big sports fan? But we already tried to do that twice, man. It's just not working out for us.
you're not wrong.
Yeah. Guys, for your listening pleasure, I'm going to give you a little tidbit. For some reason, our Wi-Fi kept dropping during our Facebook call. So now we're just doing it the old-fashioned way, talking to each other over the phone.
Exactly.
Just like two buddies in middle school, you know, basically. We're taking it back.
I'm actually just laying on my bed, you know, I'm like relaxing, the lights are off.
I'm not going to lie to
like
you, man.
I'm really getting into this.
I have the lights like dimmed because I was like, you know, hey, the funeral portrait. I got Lee from the funeral portrait here. I got to get in the mood. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When
the
I got
mood
off work,
lighting is essential, man.
Yeah. I got off work. I dimmed the lights. I got a brand new candle that I lit. I was like, hey, I'm going to have a nice harvest spice scented candle.
Dang. That's perfect, man. Yeah. I don't know what else I could say to like bring me to life, you know, like you're seancing, you know, this this great conversation.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think the evil spirits are what got us the first two, you know, first two attempts at this. But now that the candle's lit, I think we're going to be good to go on this.
We better be.
Yeah, and Harvest Spice, man. Can you believe that they have Harvest Spice candles out already? It's August 1st. Well, sorry, it's August 3rd. This is going on.
Yeah, it's crazy because, what was it? My girlfriend was talking about, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get a pumpkin spice latte on Saturday or something. I'm like, wait a second. It's August.
Yeah, you don't have any more like red, white, and blue lattes or something for us here
in the
summer?
Exactly. Yeah.
I want a barbecue-flavored latte or something, man.
Listen, dude, I'm not really complaining because I love the fall. I love that weather. I love it all and the colors and everything, but... Oh God, you know, just let's do one month at a time.
Agreed. It's just like as soon as Halloween's over, they're like, hey, let's just put all the Christmas stuff out. We'll bypass Thanksgiving.
I would disagree with you, but my family is crazy about Christmas.
Oh, I'm crazy about Christmas too. It's to me the superior holiday. That might be, I know a lot of people like Halloween, but I'm a Christmas guy.
Dude, see, it's so funny because, you know, I'm in a dark band and, like, all this stuff, and you'd think, you know, oh, you know, like, he must love Halloween, which I do love Halloween.
This dude must smell like Harvest Spice all year round.
Dude, Christmas, though, for me, man, is where it's at because my family does it huge. Like, I'm saying not just, like, the presents and stuff like that, but I'm saying, like, my whole entire house turns into the North Pole. Like I'm saying our, like we do all, we cover our whole entire house in lights. Like people drive out of their way just to come see our house.
You guys are like the Griswolds from Christmas Vacation.
Yes, exactly.
I might have to make the drive down.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's like a huge part of my life. Christmas is a huge part of my life, so. I love it.
Yeah, well, I can't say I blame you. And listeners, if you're just tuning in, this isn't the Christmas Time podcast. This is the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And I am here with Lee Jennings, lead singer extraordinaire of The Funeral Portrait. Lee, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing,
brother? Doing well, man. I appreciate you so much for, you know, we worked through the technical difficulties right at the beginning. What I was going to say, though, guys, it's episode...
The demonic spirit. Dude, it was all the demonic spirit.
Exactly. I don't even know if I should say this, but what I was going to say was, hey, it's episode 33. A lot of people, whenever I was a kid, wore jersey number 33. And just I'm going to breeze through it because I was going to say, hey, man, you know, Larry Bird and Patrick Ewing and Scottie Pippen and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar all wearing 33. But really, I'm just going to skim right through that because I'm afraid that it's just going to send bad vibes and cut this conversation off.
Yeah, I actually kind of heard it starting to break up, actually. Yeah,
you're starting to sound a little staticky, man. I wasn't feeling
that. Yeah, it was, man. I'm very nervous right now. So I think we should just move on from using any sports references.
Yeah, let's just go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and move on, guys. You don't want to talk about my bowling career. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man. It was wild. It was a wild time in my life.
It leads down a dark path, man. Didn't you ever see Kingpin? You saw what happened to Roy Munson. You know what I'm saying? He lost a hand.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, of course, dude.
But, Lee, I had you on the show here. I've been wanting to have you on for a long time, dude. I'm glad we were finally able to schedule
it. Well, I've been kind of going through some crazy stuff, you know, with the band and stuff. So now I'm in such a better mindset, and I'm, like, in a happy place. Now I can kind of, you know, I can kind of do these kind of things and talk and be happy and enjoy life.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I might have to take you back down that dark road, but I did notice like some lineup changes. Can you kind of elaborate on what happened or not?
Yes, something really crazy happened to my band. That happens actually a lot. It's really funny. It happens to a lot of bands, but we decided to do it, I guess, all at one time. The gods decided to. So, long story short, we've been the Funeral Portrait with the same members for 3 years, coming up on 3 years, and, you know, played a boatload of shows, about 16 tours together in 3 years, and which is kind of crazy because we just loved touring, and it was just like the thing to do. And then one day, literally everyone except for myself and then AJ, who's the rhythm guitar player, decided to hop off the the TFP train. And they just didn't want to do it anymore. They kind of just, they just got tired
right.
of touring. And they just, you know, when we first started this band, we were young, you know what I mean? We were younger and you know, it was just one of those things and we'd never toured before. We were literally a brand new band, you know, that really just never toured really. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. And then it kind of, people just kind of got, you know, not, they just fell out of love with the band, the music and touring. So they just decided to stop playing. So, which is honestly was what I thought was the worst thing to ever happen to me. But at the same time, now looking back at it, it's the best thing that it's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of,
I was going to say, it's kind of a common tale with bands. It's like you start out fresh face, stars in your eyes, ready to take on the world, ready to prove yourself, go out there. And when the times are the worst, everybody bands together and moves forward and everybody's on the same page. But I feel that success is, even if it's at a marginal level or on a small level, success can be a career killer sometimes, because people get that little taste of success and then it's like, well, man, like, I don't think we should work as hard anymore. Or they're just like, after so long, the kind of touring, because you got 16 tours, but you guys do some real tours. It's not just like a weekend and we call it a tour. You guys are really out there doing it. So the newness wears off, the novelty wears off, and then sometimes life happens. You know, you want to have a more stable career.
You want to be normal.
You want to be with, get married, do something. It happened to our band. Yep. It happens to a lot of bands, and it seems like it happened to your band too.
Oh, yes. And that's something that definitely happens. You know, I'm the oldest. You know, I was the oldest, not anymore. Our new guitar player, Mikey J, he's actually, which his actual name is Michael Jordan, by the way. So talking about sports references, that's kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That his name's actual Michael Jordan. But we'll go back to that. But I was the oldest, you know, and I was the one that could come home from tour and so I would come home from tour and I would have money because I had a great job at my studio that I run, you know, and all this stuff. And so I was always fine and I was always okay. And I had a very supportive family. I have a very supportive family. My girlfriend is extremely supportive. None of them really had that. So it just put a damper on all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, after coming back from a tour where you're making $10 a day each member, or even sometimes less than that, you know, you come home and you're broke again. That's a hard thing to do, especially after 16 times of doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So they some people have it in them and some people don't. And, you know, and if it's not in you, it's okay, you know. And that's something too, is like, I'm not mad at them. Of course, at first I was like, my whole entire life's gone. Oh my God, you know, here's the end. You know, the funeral portrait's over, all this stuff. And then I just kept thinking and I was like, I can't give up. I've spent so much time, honestly, money, effort, everything into these songs, into this band. And I just couldn't end it.
Right.
And, you know, so I kind of put some feelers out there and I instantly found the right guys, you know, that really just want to do this. And it's crazy because, you know, we went through a lot of crap our band did, because we always felt like we're so close to breaking it. We're so close to doing this. We're so close, you know, of landing this tour. And just, you know, we would see friends or other bands or, you know, whatever. And they would get, you know, they would get this tour, do this or blow up or this, you know, and it's like, I think it hurt other people, more. It definitely hurt other people in my band more than it hurt, me, you know, that, you know, friends bands and stuff like that would land these awesome tours.
Yeah.
With me, it was just like, well, we're not working hard enough or we're not doing the right thing. You know, we're not working this angle, or we're not doing this, or we're not meeting the right people. And that's such a big thing, you know, is like, if you take every little thing to heart, then it's just not going to end the right way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, moving forward with this band, I now have, you know, even pushed forward a little bit more. We did it. So I found, three dudes who are totally, totally awesome. And they joined AJ and myself into being the Funeral Portrait. And we did one tour, which was a week and a half with this band called Islander, who's awesome, who actually just went through the exact same thing for the second time in a row.
My gosh.
The vocalist is literally their only original member, and they've had full lineup changes twice now because they've just haven't been able to find the right people that will sleep in the van, you know, 200 days out of the year,
right,
or more, you know. And that's such a big thing is, you know, people say that they want a tour, they want to do this, or they want to be a touring musician, or they want to be, you know, this or this. And then when they actually do it, they don't like it. You know, they don't love it.
People like the idea of touring. People like the idea of, oh, we're going to go, we're going to travel, we're going to see all these awesome places, we're going to, you know, party, and then there's going to be, you know, all these other fringe benefits that come with it, and we're going to make a lot of money. And when you realize it's more like, hey, we're freezing in a van, and hey, we don't see the sights of a city because we just go to the venue and then have to play and leave, or like all this other stuff that doesn't come with it, or you don't make a lot of money. It's a grueling lifestyle that I just feel like people maybe have quite a large misconception about how it actually works, you know? And in this day and age, you have to have basically, I mean, the game is you have to be completely efficient, and you basically have to have made it before a record label even, like a major label, would even look at you. So, you know, you're grinding out there, but the difference between, you know, what everybody thinks and how it really is now is you're grinding out there on your own will and with your own money. You know, it's not 1981 anymore. Someone's not just going to moonwalk by your practice space and give you $1 million and sign you up. You know, it's just not like that anymore.
That's the crazy thing about all of this is that when I first started getting into music, you know, I'm 27, I was about 13, 14, and I looked at those bands and I saw, oh my God, like because even back then, like in the mid 2000s, early 2000s, the big bands were making really good money.
Yeah.
You know, and they were killing it. They were doing arenas. You know what I mean? Like, this is the time that, like, My Chemical Romance was the biggest band. Fall Out Boy was the biggest band. They're doing arenas, all that kind of stuff, and all in multiple buses and all that stuff. And then you're like, I just start thinking, and I'm like, then you'd go to Warped Tour, and you'd be like, every band on Warped Tour would have a bus, not a bandwagon, a bus.
Right.
And some of them would have two buses, you know, and stuff like that. And Warped Tour was huge and all this stuff. Times have changed. You know, it's not that kids aren't into that music anymore. It's just the idea that they don't have the money to go see all those shows as much as they used to, or, you know, it's just not the popular thing to do is be in a band anymore.
Yeah.
Somewhat of a, like, you know, rap kind of is becoming the new scene music, you know? And that's becoming what younger kids are into and what they're going to go see. That's becoming the unmold. That's becoming punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, is rap music and stuff like that. And that's okay. You know, and I'm not in this to make money. I was never in this to make money. I will literally live in my van. I might lose my girlfriend. I might lose my family. But as long as I have my guys with me and I'm ready to do this and everybody's on the same page, you know, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, you just got to set your mind to doing it that way, because it's like,
exactly,
it's a hard road and you have to sacrifice a lot of your money, your time, your sanity, your time with other people, you know? So, you know, a lot of times, girlfriends or family or friends might not even understand what you're doing, but for anybody out there that's ever really tried to make it, that's basically what you have to give up for your dream of succeeding. And just to kind of touch back, I mean, what you're talking about, the music business, it's like, I don't know if it's necessarily music has changed, but I just feel like the music business has changed. The way we consume music has changed, because even in mid 2000s, you know, you bought a My Chemical Romance album or Taking Back Sunday album or the Used album or something like that. You bought it on CD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can consume a whole album.
Then, exactly. And then iTunes started to happen. But honestly, dude, I don't think kids in the scene really used iTunes that much the beginning.
Yeah, now it's commonplace, but we held on to, like, because you would go to shows, you'd get your show merch. You get your CD at the show.
You get your CD at the show. I have three copies of the Black Parade just because I bought the deluxe edition when it came out, and then I bought two other copies because they had like tour exclusive copies that had a different song on each one. So both times I saw the Mike Kim do the Black Parade, I bought that tour exclusive copy that had like an extra song on it or a B-side or whatever it was.
Right.
Because that was such a big deal to me. So I bought that record literally three times.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to me. But,
well, now,
you know,
everybody has the iTunes.
Changed, you know,
yeah, everybody.
Spotify.
Exactly. Spotify, exactly. So now you really, like with iTunes, I feel like most people buy the single or a single. So they consume the singles. And then they don't even necessarily have to consume a whole record. You just consume a single. And then now it's Spotify, where you don't even have to actually buy the album. You just listen to it.
It's crazy because I think to myself, I'm like, when was really the last time I bought music? And it's scary because I'm like, am I just doing this too? But it's like, dude, I don't have money. Like, especially me, man. I spend so much money on my band to promote it and to live off of it and to, you know, to do stuff, or my studio.
Yeah, your investments, basically.
Exactly. And I think about it, you know, the last thing I did buy was this band Vault 51. They're like a local band from here that just, their EP is so good. I just bought that. But besides that, like, I've done like Apple Music. I did Apple Music for about a year, and then I switched over to, for that first year that it was there. And then I did Spotify. I'm now on Spotify, and it's just, it's so simple and so easy. You have literally everything that you want to listen to. So if you even want to listen to pop music for a second, you know, you can just, you know, type in, you know, Justin Bieber or whatever, and you could just listen to that one Justin Bieber song, you know, that's been stuck in your head.
Right.
Or, you know, if you want to listen to freaking even like, you know, like The Locust or Magooder Grind or like, you know, weird, you know, grindcore, you know,
you
stuff like that.
To,
you can literally type it in.
Yeah.
And you can find it.
Listen to Dimmu Borgir and then in the same like minute, listen to The Beatles. You know, it's up to you.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
But that's just kind of the way the music is consumed now. And I feel like, you know, it's made it difficult for the musician, somebody out there trying to make a living. And I don't want to just sit around and complain because, I mean, the life of a musician, while it is hard work, dude, it's fun. It's way more fun.
Dude, it's awesome.
Ever wearing
dude,
a tie to an office, it's great.
I can't give up. That's why I had someone ask me in an interview. They're like, so why? They're kind of rude about it, and I'm being honest, like, and I kind of told them that, but they were like, so why didn't you just start a new band when everybody decided to quit? And I was like, because I love this. Like, this is my baby. Like, this is my life. Like, The Funeral Portrait is literally, like, my life.
Right.
And it's literally consumed my whole entire body. And I can't think of my life without that band. You know, and if I started over, like, it's not like I'm a famous dude that can just start over and just, you know, like, I don't know if you know them, but when Tyler Carter and Michael Bond quit Woe Is Me, then they formed Issues, you know what I mean? And it's like, and it just worked for them because they were on some big label and this, and this. And it's awesome because, you know what, they formed an even better band, and it's great. But I can't do that. I don't have the resources to just start over.
Yeah, exactly.
After the thousands upon thousands of dollars I've put into this band, after the thousands and thousands of hours I've put into this band,
It would just be silly to start over, because you would just be taking what you've done and your investment and everything that you've worked towards and just kind of throwing it out the window to just do it all over again from scratch. There's no point in that. If you know, just like if someone out there owns a business, if people quit working for you, you don't just close. You just get new people.
Exactly. You know? Find new people. And that's such a big thing. It's like, I do treat my band like a business, but of course it's not the only thing I treat it as. But that's such a great, great look on it. And it sucks because they left. But at the same time, dude, I have met three of the most hardworking dudes I've ever, like, these three guys should originally been in the band.
Right.
And once people start seeing us live and hearing the new music that we have, they'll be like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, this is the Funeral Portrait. This is what they've been needing the whole time.
Well, that's awesome.
And it's because of the passion, dude. It's hard when just one person has that passion and the other dudes are just stringing along.
Right.
But when you have four or five dudes that have that passion, you're just like, it just explodes.
And that's what you have to do. You got to keep moving forward. Rocky Balboa said it best. It's all about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
And it's true, though, man. And that's what we've done, and that's what we are doing. And that's, you know, with new music, because we're going to do new music soon. I guess technically we've done new music. We're just waiting for the right moment to drop it and to kind of get it ready, you know, because we're doing a whole, you know, it's going to be, this is literally the rebirth of the Funeral Portrait, you know. And this is, I literally had these three guys. I was like in a grave, and I'm not even like as emo and goth or like, you know, the Funeral Portrait esque that sounds, but I literally was. I was in a grave, buried alive, and then these three dudes came along and just dug me out of it. And that's the whole idea with these new songs. Like, these songs that like I wrote and that we wrote together, I've never been more excited, and they've never been more, quote, emotional.
Right.
Just because I wrote them about the hardest time of my life, when I literally, I didn't know what to do. When I got the phone call, you know, that everyone was quitting the Funeral Portrait, it was like, literally my life shattered. I literally went to sleep that night for like 2 hours, woke up in the middle of the night, was sleeping next to my girlfriend, and she and I didn't even know I did this. So I literally woke up and I just started crying, and I was like, I just thought it was all a dream.
Right.
Because that's what it felt like. It literally felt like my whole world shattered. And it was so weird because it came out of nowhere. And that was the crazy thing. It just came out of nowhere. And then, you know, a month and a half go by, and then the best thing ever happened is I found three amazing dudes who just believe in this band. It's not even their band. They didn't even play a show with us once. You know what I mean? Like, as the Funeral Portrait, and they're just like, yes, please, I got to be in this band. I love this band. Like, they were fans, and then they were just like, I believe in you, Lee, and I believe in us, and I believe that we can do this. And it was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was such a great feeling.
Well, and you need that, man. You need a support system like that that'll build you up, that people that really get it. And, dude, I'm excited for you, man. I'm excited to hear what you guys, you know, are doing. And that's the thing, man. Just keep moving forward and keep pushing forward. And you know, I know you already had this, but you mentioned it earlier, and this was something that I've dealt with before in bands and stuff. It's like, man, just don't focus on what everybody else is doing, man. That's like a buzzkill when people are like, oh, somebody got this tour, that should be us. I'm bummed.
Yep.
Man, I've said it before, I will say it again, and for all you listeners out there, to give you a little bit of advice, check this out. Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners.
Yep.
There you go. Not calling anybody a loser here, because I love everybody that was in your band. Love you guys
of
so
course.
Much.
Me too,
I'm just saying, hypothetically, in any situation, that's my advice for life, man. Just focus on winning. You know, don't focus on anybody else.
And that's such a big thing. It's like, that was something that we did so hard on ourselves, is that we were so focused on everybody else that we didn't know that our band was unraveling underneath us.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes that
and
happens.
And I definitely
you know?
Didn't. And so now it's like a lesson learned. And that's why now with our new music and everything is we're just doing what we want to do. We're not caring what's popular. We're not caring what's cool. We're not caring what you know, oh, you guys aren't dressed like the other bands, or you guys aren't like this or like that, you know. And with me, I don't care because I'm dressing the way I want to dress. I'm acting the way that I want to act.
Yeah.
And I'm doing what I want to do. And it's great because, yeah, it might take us a few extra years to catch on or something, but it's what I love to do, and it's me. I am who I am, and I can't control that.
Yeah.
And that's something huge with our new music is it's kind of about that. It's about not letting the industry or people in your life rule you and you just being you. And that's such a big thing.
Yeah. Well, that was always our thing, you know, huh, baby? Yeah. Not to like, you know, take away from what you're saying, but like with us, it was like, I felt we were the band that didn't sound like the other bands. We were the band.
I agree.
That did like, you know, Blake dressed the way Blake has his own fashion sense, looks awesome, but doesn't dress like a lot of people. Like me on stage, my persona on stage was like, you know, I'm like this crazy, giving crazy looks, bald, sweaty, licking my drumsticks, playing as loud as possible, like always like doing something. Like we always just tried to say, hey, this is the sound of four people that came from absolutely nothing trying to get a piece of the American dream. This is what it sounds like. That was basically kind of our thing.
And it was so awesome. I was so devastated when I heard that you guys broke up.
Wow. Just like
it was because I was just like, no, just when we were like becoming friends and playing shows together, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like, and I know that you guys were a band for a while, right?
Long time. Well, Kevin and I have been playing together for like since February 1st, 2004. So we broke up, I mean, with almost 13 years of history behind us. So I mean, Kevin and I are still, I mean, all the dudes in the band. John just got married last week and all the guys were there. You know, Kevin and I still hang out. I mean, we did what we had to do, I think, to save our rapport with
friendship.
Each other, save our friendship, you know. And it's just a long battle, man, and we did what we had to do. But now, like, I'm not, you know, Kevin's got a brand new band, John just got married, has a baby. You know, Blake is out touring the country. He's got a great girlfriend doing their thing. And I've got this podcast. So, like, yeah, we're not doing stuff together, but we're succeeding and we're super happy right now. So, really, I can't really say anything bad about it. Everything's a learning experience, I guess.
Dude, that's so important. And that's something that I always say, you know, with people that have asked me the past few weeks about what's going on with Funeral Portrait, like what happened. I was like, guess what? I'm finally happy. I'm so happy doing what I love. And guess what? They are all finally happy, you know, too.
Exactly.
They're getting to do whatever they want to do, you know, have normal lives. And they're doing a band as well. But it's like, I don't think they're trying to take it super serious. You know, I don't really know what they're trying to do.
Well, they're doing
but
it on their terms. You know what I'm saying? According
exactly.
to their rules and their schedule. So.
Yes, exactly. And so with me, I can do the same.
Exactly.
But mine's definitely going to be crazy. Mine's definitely going to be a wild ride. So
I'm excited. And guys, we've been, you know, here we are already like, I don't know, 30 minutes or so into the conversation, but I haven't even really talked about, I mean, I talked about what's happened with the band, but you know, let's just talk about your band in general, like your sound. Like I would say, I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, but we brought up My Chemical Romance already. I'd say definitely
of
for
course.
Anyone that's interested.
Oh yeah. That's definitely a huge influence to me just because it's so hard not to be, because I think what they were influenced on was what I was influenced on. So that's so hard because they're influenced on just like the dark bands, like the Misfits and Iron Maiden with the Show and stuff like that. And that's so huge to me is because I'm a theater kid. I grew up being in musicals and going to musicals, all that kind of stuff. and, you know, singing classical music and all that fun stuff.
Did you go to Nebraska, bro?
What's up?
Did you go to Nebraska, dude? I feel like every theater kid's like, bro, I went to Nebraska for the theater thing.
Yeah.
Did you guys do that?
Yeah, we definitely did that. You know, I went to New York City, you know, auditioned for Broadway, all that fun stuff, you know, and, you know, I literally got scouted to go to Cincinnati Conservatory of Music when I was a freshman in high school. Literally, I was the only freshman casted I went to like a special high school as well. It was a performing arts high school, so it had a magnet program. So I was the only freshman casted in this it was West Side Story. And I was actually Officer Krupke, who's like a hilarious character. But it was just funny that, you know, I literally had this guy come up to me. He was like, are you a graduating senior? And I was like, actually, no, I'm a freshman. He was like, oh, man. He was like, you'd fit perfectly for Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. Here's my card. And I'm like, wait a second, what? Like, you know, like all this crazy stuff. And I'm just like, I was a freshman in high school. And then, you know, things started changing when I started getting less and less involved in that and more into punk rock. You know, I started getting into, you know, the emo culture, you know, as I want to call it, you know, and that's something with my band, like what we're trying to bring back is that mid-2000s like vibe, not even the sound. We just want, that was such a great time for our scene. Yeah. It's like all these people that are doing emo nights, you know, like those dance parties, and they play all that kind of like the, you know, they play Taking Back Sunday, Senses Fail, Something Corporate, you know, they play, all those scene bands that were so popular in the early mid 2000s. And that was like, that's what I grew up on. And that's what I love. And that's what shaped me to the person that I am. It's the thing that saved me, you know, because I was so done with my life in high school. I just, until I found music, it was just like actual music, punk rock. I was a shell, and, you know, a shell of a human until I found this wonderful thing.
What was the band that turned you from, what was the one band when you heard it, you're like, yep, that's it for me? Like, because I was real into like rock, and then of course that went into like my middle school years, new metal, like Korn, Limp Bizkit, whatever, Disturbed.
Of course, yeah.
But I remember a friend of mine was like, hey, let's go to this show. And it was Less Than Jake, Newfound Glory, and Anti-Flag. And the second I saw Newfound Glory, and I was always a fat kid in school, and like, so like their bass player, like Ian Grushka, being overweight with no shirt on, just like rocking on stage.
Yeah.
That's when, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, dude, I'm a punk rocker now. Like, this is my thing from here on out. Do you have a band that's like that, or a moment that's like that?
Dude, you know, it's crazy that you said that, like being like seeing someone that's overweight doing it. That's something that always gets to me, that the industry is so worried about people's weight. But I'm just like, fuck that, dude. Yeah, I'm trying to, like, myself, I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight right now just because it's hard to play shows, run around, and being 260 pounds.
Right.
So I dropped my weight to 240. Sweet, you know? Hell yeah. You know? And it's like, but I don't want to be skinny, because you know why? That's something that helped me is like, okay, let's take about the band that, you know, coming back to the band that got me really, really into this was My Chemical Romance, because their theater aspect, but their darkness, their theater aspect, but also Gerard at the time, he was chubby. He was big.
And their drummers.
Bob was big as well. And it was one of those things. They were all nerds. Like, that was like their thing. They were nerd rock. They were just nerdy dudes. They were playing punk rock music. And it was emotional. It was dark. It was so awesome. It was theatrical. And that's what drew me to it. And I hate the idea that everybody in this industry is so worried about frontmen being so skinny and all this stuff, you know? And it's like, I'm just like, fuck that. There's so many people out there that need to see that it's okay to be bigger. Like, some of these kids, they can't help it. I cannot help being big. I was born to be big.
Yeah, me too. I was big my whole life.
I can work out for days. Yeah. Like, I can literally work out for days, and I just can't lose anymore. Like, I'm just made to be big.
I was, like, my whole life, I've been big, and then when I started playing, you know, I was over 300 pounds, 315 pounds, whatever. And then someone, you know, that we were managed by briefly, like, literally was just like, hey, look, you're in a rock band. You need to look like you're addicted to drugs, not McDonald's. And then from that from that moment, like, it just kind of snapped in my head. I was like, dude, I can't do this. So, like, it was like, okay, lost 40 pounds. So I was like 275. And then I started getting really focused on it. And, you know, by the time we were playing Warped Tour in 2014, I was like 193 pounds. Now I'm back up.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm back up, you know, into the 200s because, you know, I don't have to have a public image like that. You know what I'm saying? With a podcast,
yeah,
ain't nobody going to see me. You know what I'm saying? Now I can eat whatever I of like, course. Feel good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel as long as your attitude's there, you're happy, you're, like, you know,
dude,
smiling.
That's such a thing, man. If you're happy, that's all that matters, man. And that's something that so many people forget is I want to lose weight. The reason why I want to lose weight is for myself. I'm not trying to lose weight so that way my band gets on a bigger label or that, you know, the industry loves me or that girls will think I'm hot and stuff like that. Because that's not what it's about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what it is about yourself. So right now I am trying to lose a little bit of weight so that way I feel better about myself.
Dude, I say we just, you know, start working out together, bro. I mean, we're only 8 hours
Hell
away.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to look like a
exactly.
WWE tag team before too long. That's what's up.
Dude, that would be hilarious.
But
that'd
yeah.
be too good.
You know what, though? I feel like it is time. We've talked about your band. It's time to stop talking about it. It's time to be about it. So, listeners out there, as I like to say on the show, I've said it over and over again. I'm going to milk this joke for all it's worth. But Lee has prepared a piece for us here today. What song is that you have prepared for us here, Lee?
Like Father, Like Son.
Like Father,
from our newest record.
Yes, and your newest record is A Moment of Silence?
It is A Moment of Silence.
Man, you didn't think
I knew. But it's honestly not going to be, it's not going to be new for far too long. We're going to crank out some new jams here soon, so get it while it's hot.
Yeah, dude, get it while it's hot. Guys, this is Like Father, Like Son by The Funeral Portrait.
Purpose. Please tell me. goddamn, they feel pretty next to me. They never once spoke with purpose. Please tell me that I don't deserve that. Leave the city where my father died. I saw, I discovered what's gotten by. They tell me how to speak with purpose. Please tell me that I didn't deserve this.
All right, guys, like father, like son, by the funeral portrait, Lee. What a banger there, bro.
Dude, thank you, man. Thank you.
Hey, man, that belongs on a Miley Cyrus album because that's a total banger right there, bro.
Oh, Jesus. That's pretty funny. I haven't heard that one before. Thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Do you have people in Georgia that talk like that? Because we certainly have people in Kentucky that are like, hey, dude, y'all are badass, dude.
Oh, God, yes. Not so where I'm from, you know, I'm from Atlanta, so it's kind of like
Atlanta, dude.
The only thing that we have is we say Atlanta, you know, we're from Atlanta, so, but you know,
we call
it's not bad.
We call, like, obviously, I always say Louisville because I'm actually from Indiana, so like I'm from like a whole 5 minutes north of there, but I've always called it Louisville. And then when we were out on the road, people would be like, well, you're obviously not from there. And I'm like, why? And they're like, you're not saying it right. It's Louisville. And I'm like, oh, okay. You probably watch Elizabethtown or something like that. And they probably said that in that movie, but I've been calling it Louisville for 31 years, guys. And it's gotten me by just fine.
Yeah.
But speaking of different cities, one of the main reasons why I wanted to have you on the show today, not just to hear your voice, you're natural at this whole podcasting thing. You should get one whenever. I say that to a lot of guests, man. Sometimes guests just floor me. If they're good, I'm like, you don't have a podcast? If you don't have one, get one.
Yeah, I should. I've always wanted to do something, but dude, like I said, man, I have to be 100% into it. So
yeah.
So it's like one of those things, like if I'm not 100%, like, which I am 100% into talking because I can talk for hours, but if I'm not like 100% into it, or if I don't have the time, I'm just going to be like, it's just going to float by, you know?
It's going to be a pipe dream.
Yep.
And then the next week,
but
you
one day,
about
I'll
it.
Definitely do it. I'll definitely do it.
That's me, like with Amazon or something. Like, I'll be like, yeah, I want to read this book. And then by the time it gets to me, and then I'm like, oh, I don't even care about this subject anymore. I don't even care to read it.
Dude, 100%, 100%. Every tour, I go out to like Barnes & Noble. For the first few tours, I did this. And then I was like, this is stupid. I'm not doing this. I'll go out to Barnes & Noble, buy a book to read on tour. And I would literally read it for the very first night of the tour. And then the rest of the tour, I wouldn't read at all.
Don't worry, guy. If you want me, I can tell you how Twilight ends if you need me to.
All right.
All right, after this podcast. This isn't a Twilight podcast, but afterwards, you know, every book you bought, the Twilight books, I'll tell you how it ends, bro.
Yeah, please do, man, because, dude, I actually, so I never read any of those, but I did watch all the movies except for the very last one.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. So.
Honestly, I didn't read that book, and I haven't seen the last movie, but I did see the second to last movie because... And this is going to sound like a total, like, I made this up on the spot, but my gym has, like, a theater in it where you could do cardio, a.k.a. a cardio theater, and they played Breaking Dawn Part 1. And I remember seeing this scene where she's, like, giving birth.
What?
She's giving birth to, like, a baby vampire thing, and it was, it was, like, the fakest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, this is 2010-something or other. We could have sprung. This is one of the hottest franchises in the past 10 years. We could have sprung for a little bit more special effects on this one.
Yeah. That was something, too. The special effects for that whole entire series. So I'm eating a slice of pizza.
Yeah, dude. Well, dude, people love it when you eat on a podcast, bro. People love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I ate just a nice slice of pizza. So it was great.
slice of Zaw, bro.
Yeah, Zaw. But no, that's weird that your gym has a movie theater you could just watch. That's so weird.
You just get on a treadmill. Yeah, dude. It's just like a movie theater, but instead of seats, it has treadmills, exercise bikes, elliptical machines, stair machines, etc.
Fuck, I'm so jealous.
What's even more weird is the fact that they played Twilight. I guess you got to appeal to a broad audience, but still, you know, I'm into it. There's been some days where, you know, you go in there and Rocky IV is playing and you're like, dude, I am going to have the best workout ever. And then there's some days, like the day they played the Green Mile, I'm about 10 minutes on the treadmill and then the end of the Green Mile comes on and I'm crying and I'm like, you know what? I got to get out of here. I got to get the hell out of here.
Yes, dude. Like, dude, that's so funny.
Are you crying? So no, dude, I'm just really sweaty around the eyes, so don't worry about it. My eyes are sweating really bad, so.
That's funny.
But yeah, I started a point, and I'm going to have to finish it eventually, but I was going to say, speaking of cities and all this other stuff, you guys got a tour coming up, and that's one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on the show, is because you got to tell the people out there where they can find you when you're out on the road. When does it start?
You can...
And where are you going?
It starts on the 11th of August, because we got two tours actually coming up. I can plug both of those tours, because we like touring so much, we decided to throw a tour on top of our tour.
It's your time to shine,
bro.
That
way you guys, exactly. So, yes, so our first tour starts August 11th in, Spartanburg, South Carolina.
You guys playing Ground Zero?
Going on tour at this... Yep, Ground Zero, dude, good old-fashioned Ground Zero.
You probably played there a time or two before, right?
Oh, God, yes.
What I love about that venue, is you know it was once a gentleman's club. Like, as soon as you walk in, you're like, this was a strip club.
Dude, it's crazy, man. But every big band has played there.
And we played there for a decade. We've been playing there since we had played there in, like, 2005.
Dude, that place... Literally, you go in, and they have that wall, you know, and they have the wall that has, like, the Slipknot poster. Mr. Bungle played there. Like,
yeah,
like
crazy.
You know, Mike Patton's band. Like, all this, like, crazy stuff. And it's just, like literally Slipknot played this, you know, 500-cap venue. And you're just like, oh, my God, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Danzig played there. Like the Misfits, like the original Misfits, like all this like crazy stuff, and you're just like, this is insane. This is just insane.
Yeah, and
you know, it's
bands
like legendary.
That, even bands that aren't like huge, I can't believe. Like, I remember maybe the last time I was there, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I was like, oh man, Blackstone Cherry played here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Even I was like, man, even a band like this size is maybe too big to play here.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, dude. It's so weird.
A lot of history
But yeah, so we're playing there, and then we're going on tour. So on the tour, there's this thing called Marina City, and they're super cool dudes. They're weird. They're like Avenged Sevenfold, but a pop band. So don't think of Avenged Sevenfold, but think of like the song structures and the like technicality of that. With Maroon 5. And I know that's so weird, but it's just that's who they are. And they're so cool. They're good dudes. They're just pop music, but it's so technical that you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well,
and if you can't wrap your brain around it, then you just got to go and see it live.
Exactly. And they're so cool. They're good dudes. And then we've been wanting to tour them for a while now, but they're like, they were actually like produced by John Feldman. So it's like a big deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're going to
be a big deal.
Yeah, they're like on a rocket. So, they're on a rocket ship right now, man. If Feldman touches it, it almost always turns to gold.
Yep. So they're in the middle of that. So that's why we're trying to just like, before they just blow up, you know, and be the biggest band ever, I just want to like tour with them once so that way I can just be like, yeah, I remember when I toured with them, you know, when I'm telling my grandkids.
Yeah.
So, one day, but yeah, that's one of those things. But they're on the tour, and then this band called Awake at Last is also on the tour, and they're really cool dudes. It's just like Old school, like Set It Off, like that band Set It Off. They were like more theatrical kind of thing. Like
right.
they have that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. And then we're on the tour too. So that's kind of cool.
Well, it'd be a nice progression. You got a pop band, a pop theatrical band, and a more darker theatrical band. So it's kind of a natural progression.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And that's kind of what it is. And it should be cool. You know, that tour is only 2 weeks long, but it pretty much goes all the way up the East Coast. You know, we've got a show in Richmond, Virginia at the Canal Club. Then we're playing like in Raleigh as well. I think the night after that Spartanburg show, we're playing in Raleigh, North Carolina. Then we're playing where I think is where I met you, correct? In Raleigh, North Carolina.
It very well could be.
At the Revival Bash,
yeah.
Christmas thing.
And that's yes, exactly. That is where we met at the Revival
yep.
Christmas party.
Exactly. And you guys, I don't even think you guys were signed yet.
No, we were just being scouted. We were just like a few whispers and a few ears, but we were invited.
Exactly. And you guys just came and hung out and it was really cool. And we all had a fun drunken evening.
Yeah, absolutely. The best kind.
Exactly.
Whenever you're in Raleigh.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Whenever you're in Raleigh, you got to go to Demo's Pizzeria. Tell them Sean, tell them the dudes in Aha Baby, yeah, sent you. And you're going to get a great pizza or a great sandwich or a great whatever you're going to
Hell yeah.
have. Demos.
Definitely will. It's so weird because Raleigh, like, we spent so much time there just because, you know, that's where Revival's headquarters is. But also, that's where we recorded our first EP. And we literally spent, like, a month and a half up there, like, working with Sean and at the time, Neil, you know, when he was living there. And we were there constantly and just writing and recording, and we ate at so many awesome places. So it's like kind of weird. Raleigh's kind of like a second home in a way.
Yeah.
And we've just spent so much time there. So we always love playing in Raleigh. But it's so hard to now because there's not a lot of all ages venues. So we're actually playing at a gay bar called Legends. And it's literally, we're playing, because it's like Saturday night that we play, we're playing before the drag show. They have drag shows every Saturday night.
Well, so
our tour package plays, and then the drag show happens.
And you know it's going to be packed. There's going to be so many people there on a Saturday night. That's going to be good business for
you. Oh, yeah. It's going to be weird. I don't know how it's going to be, you know, because we don't really play bar shows, but it is all ages, you know? They do all ages up until like 10 o'clock. So, you know, I think it's going to be cool. We'll see. So, but then the rest of the tour, we kind of go up the north, east, and then we go out towards like Buffalo, New York, which is like also like kind of like a second home to us. We've just had some crazy shows in Buffalo. And then we're playing in like Cleveland, Ohio, and then I'm trying to think of a few other places, like kind of up towards Michigan. We're playing at
Max
Bar in Lansing.
Up in my neighborhood,
playing up
basically.
In Lansing. We're playing in Toledo, Ohio. And then after that, we're done for about a month, and that completes that tour. And then in October, we start a tour with this band called Hotel Books and Social Repos. And Social Repos is this YouTuber that made some killer music that tours now. And it's pretty cool. It's very dark. It has this like cool like vibe to it. And Hotel Books is kind of like spoken word with like music behind it. So it's a really cool, interesting tour package. None of us sound alike. All three of us have completely different fan bases, and it's going to be really, really cool. But that's a full U.S. tour. That's like literally we're playing the Whiskey out in California. We're playing Chain Reaction out there as well. But then also in the same tour, we're playing not Webster Hall because they'll be closed at that time for refurbishment. But what is it? We're playing same area, some venue in New York City, you know, and we're playing Cleveland again, and then we're playing the Emerson Theater in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so that's like just 2 hours north of me. So I'll definitely be there for sure.
Hell yeah. Dude, that place is awesome, too. We like playing at the Emerson, so.
So you guys are just going to be busy, man. You guys are just going to be out there doing it.
We have to be. We have to be.
That's how you got to stay relevant, man. You got to get your face out. Put in the FaceTime and put in the leg work. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Dude, completely.
Let me ask you this question. When you're out on tour, are you going to be stoked because they just put out that Pokemon Go update or what?
So, yes and no. So, going into the Pokemon realm. So, Pokemon Go started, you know, like a year ago.
So, you
and
said
now
that different than me. I don't mean to cut you off, but you're like, the Pokemon. And I'm always just like, hey, have you ever heard of these Pokemon? Like, what's going on here? But you even said it like, the Pokemon. Is it not Pokemon? Is it Pokemon? You tell me.
It's Pokemon. You know, pocket monsters even, because that's how the Japanese say it.
Gotcha.
Because in Japanese, it's actually pocket monsters. It's not even Pokemon. It didn't come Pokemon until it came here. I don't even know why they changed it from pocket monsters. Because pocket monsters is actually, like, less weird sounding than Pokemon. So, but Pokemon's kind of catchy. But yeah, it just works. But yeah, so originally, you know, like a year ago, we were actually out on tour, and then all of a sudden Pokemon Go was released. We were actually playing in Atlanta at the Masquerade, the old location, the original location. And we were playing, and then I got off stage, and my girlfriend comes over and like, look, the Pokemon Go update was released, or Pokemon Go is finally released. And we're like, oh my God. So we all downloaded it. We all freaked out and, you know, started playing for a few months, and then, you know, the fad died. And I was like, yes, finally, it's over. Because people started caring so much about Pokemon again.
Right.
When it's kind of crazy to me because I've never stopped not caring about it. Because I started, like, when I was in elementary school, you know, when I was, like, in third grade, second grade, Pokemon came out. And I worshipped it. You know, I still do. I still love it. You know, I don't play as much. And I don't play Pokemon Go as much. I play every once in a while. But it's hard because, you know, they've changed so much because now you can't play while you're driving. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, and like, not saying when I was driving, I was playing, but like when you're a passenger too.
Right.
And just all this like stuff. And it just became not fun. They started putting rules in place, you know.
What's your favorite thing about Pokemon? Because I will tell you this. You said like Pokemon, you're like, man, I've been playing it since second or third grade. The problem with Pokemon for me is, okay, you're 27, I'm 31. We have a 4-year difference. And even though that's not a big difference, that is, to me, the complete difference between liking Pokemon or anime in general. I was just like 1 year past being into it. Because when Pokemon came out, I was like in 6th or 7th grade, or whenever it became hugely popular in my small town, I was like in 6th or 7th grade. Now, I had people that liked it, but I was like interested in other things. Like, I'm going to, you know, I like music. That's my thing. I like, you know, movies. That's my thing. Pokemon was not my thing. I just kind of missed the boat on it. But people talk about like an anime and all this sort of thing is so huge right now. And I just feel like I missed the boat, man. What do you like most about Pokemon? Why don't you, for someone that has no idea really other than you're catching monsters in an RPG format, like what am I missing out on here?
It's so weird. I guess I could just take you back to the, because it's such a weird thing for me. So one day, it was crazy. So one day, my grandfather went to go check the mail. And in the mail, there was a VHS tape that had, it was from Toys R Us promoting Pokemon. And I was like, what is this? So we watched it, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. It literally was a VHS tape that they just were mailing out to random kids on their subscribe, you know, list. And I was one of the kids selected, and I got this tape before it was ever released. And it had like half of the very first episode of the anime series, of the TV series. And it told you all about the video game. It told you all about the characters, you know, all this stuff. And I was in love. I was just instantly just like, this is the coolest thing ever. And it just exploded. It literally just, it was the hugest thing for a few years, you know. I went down to my local card shop then, you know, and I started playing, because I played the video game, but I played the cards way more.
Gotcha.
And that's where my love really hit home, was like, I started playing cards. My cousin was really into Magic the Gathering, and so he showed me where to go to get Pokemon cards and everything, and it was huge. There was huge lines everywhere to get Pokemon cards. And the cards were the biggest thing, and because you got to collect them, and then you got to collect more to battle and to, you know, to create your deck. And then I then started to play professionally. And not even joking, by the time I was in probably sixth, seventh grade, I was playing Pokemon trading card game professionally. As professional as you could at that time.
Right.
Because it wasn't as huge as it is now, but I was going to tournaments, making money, doing what I could to make it, to do it.
Yeah, getting endorsements, getting cards, getting free stuff.
It was a big deal. Yes, it was a huge deal. And I was that one kid at my local card shop that I was just the one that nobody wanted to fight. No one wanted to end up versing me in our local tournaments, you know, because they knew that I was just going to cream them because I loved it. You know, it was my love, and I strategized. That was before I got into music, you know, and so that was like my obsession, and I was obsessed with the card game, and I was obsessed with everything about it, but the card game was my main thing, and it just ruled over my life for so long. And then honestly, until I was in about eighth grade is when I discovered music, and then music kind of took over. But
hopefully,
but it's crazy that
you hung on to all those Pokemon cards, though, right?
Oh yes, I have. I still have all my stuff, and I still collect. And I don't really collect the cards as much because I had to realize that I'm spending way too much money. Even though now, first place in world championships, I think you get $50,000 or $40,000. So you can make really good money. And that's just the world championship. So all the other tournaments you get money from as well, you know, and then there's local card shop tournaments that you can probably win up to $1,000 or $2,000, you know? So if you're really good at what you do, you can make money.
I actually know some people that play Magic the Gathering like professionally, and they have like they're sponsored and stuff like that. But also too,
oh yeah,
a lot of times people say like if you want to be, and I'm sure Pokemon's probably not that much different, but they're like if you want to be somebody and really be a contender, you have to pay for it out the wazoo. Like these cards are not cheap.
Yes,
you know what
Magic
I'm saying?
Is definitely a little different because it's been around longer. It's definitely more of a strategy game. It's harder. It's a harder game than Pokemon. Pokemon's a little easy, but at the same time, though, it's all luck of the draw, you know. But it's at the same time, it's all about countering your opponent because every Pokemon on the card, there's weakness, there's resistance, there's energy that you have to use to then battle with for your attacks. There's hit points. And if you lose six of your Pokemon, you're out, you know? So if you know, your opponent knows you really well and knows what kind of deck you're running, they can use a deck against you that was built to ruin you. And that's what ruined me. And that's what made me like, I developed this strategy that I use for every tournament that I use. I would change my deck up so that way people wouldn't be able to, but my strategy, then they started, the company themselves started making, they realized that there's a lot of people out there that use my strategy, that use the same strategy as I did, very brute force deck, very, very fast, and kill them before they're even drawing their first card, you know, kind of
right.
thing. And they just kind of, the company started realizing that it was too easy for people like me to win, so they started developing cards against that. And then after Pokemon, I got into Yu-Gi-Oh. I don't know if you ever remember Yu-Gi-Oh.
I have some people in my circle. We play a lot of tabletop and board games and stuff like that.
Sweet.
D&D. And those same people, also play Yu-Gi-Oh. So I don't play personally. I'm like barely just getting into that sort of thing. Like like I have like a starter deck of Magic the Gathering, so I can just sit down and like play a hand.
Yeah, Magic.
And
lose. You know, Magic's probably the easiest to do because it's just so it's not like creatures and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon, they're like toy creatures, you know what I mean? They're like stuffed animals and stuff like that. With Magic Gathering, it's more adult like, and it's more like, and it's more interesting. It'll definitely keep your attention. But I got into Yu-Gi-Oh for a minute, and it was cool. I loved it, but it just wasn't Pokemon to me. And then I got into, you know, punk rock music. So
yeah, and then now you're just like, you know, making money and picking up babes instead of picking up cars.
No, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. No, dude, like, Pokemon, man, I've thought of it, you know, I've thought of, like, well, if I'm not doing the band, because, like, I thought, dude, like, even, I'm not even joking, this went through my mind, I was like, maybe I'll just get back into Pokemon, like, the cards, like, full-time, maybe I'll just train and just, like, really work hard, you know, just do the studio to make money, and then, you know, do the Pokemon thing and go to Worlds. You know, I went to Worlds before and everything when I was younger, when they first started it, you know, but now I could like actually make good money if I'm good at this, which I know I'm good at, you know, but I had to dedicate, I would have to dedicate my life to, I couldn't tour. I couldn't be in a band. I would just, because every weekend I would need to be at my local card shop playing.
Yeah. You basically, that's your career.
Yes. And I would Monday through Friday, I would just work at the studio. But then Saturday, Sunday, I'm at the card shop, you know, working on my deck or working on tournaments and stuff like that. But I just realized that wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, not saying I won't ever do that because I love card games. I love tabletop games. Never was really into D&D just because there was too much time into it. But the other stuff, I've always been like a game kind of guy, tabletop kind of guy. So I like card games. I like Warhammer. I like, you know, there was a game called Mage Knight, like all that kind of stuff. It was like the HeroClix before HeroClix. It was just clicks, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was huge into all that kind of stuff. So
well, next time you're in my neck of the woods, and you might have like an extra day around, or if you ever just want to come visit in between your tour schedule, we'll do up some cards, we'll do up some tabletop games. I've got a collection of that I split. I just have a group of people that play tabletop. It's all at one of my friends' houses, but if we want a game or we look at a game or we find a game, you know, people buy it and it all just goes into collection. We've got a collection of I don't know, maybe 75 games or so right now.
That's awesome.
So come on over and we'll sit down.
Dude.
We'll have a cold beverage of your choosing. No pressure there. Cold beverage of your choosing. And we will play some tabletop games. But yeah, dude, Lee, we could probably talk forever. We could probably do like two or three more episodes. So I'm just going to leave this.
Maybe we should at some point. Maybe this is just part one.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
then in another month, we'll do part two.
I'm down with that. Like I said, we'll leave this as part one. And then when you get back from tour or something, and you got that new album coming out, we will destroy a part two or part three or however many parts, dude. It doesn't matter to me. You're always welcome here on the show. But as we're winding down,
dude,
tell everyone where they can find The Funeral Portrait out there on the worldwide spider.
The interwebs?
Yes, the on the net. Where can people find you on the net?
On the net. Literally just everywhere. Just type in The Funeral Portrait and you will find us. Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, just even on Google. Just go onto Google right now and just type in The Funeral Portrait, and it will bring you videos from YouTube. It will bring you websites. It will bring you everything that you need to know.
Exactly. Guys, you heard it. So check out The Funeral Portrait. And I appreciate so much the conversation. I'm so glad we were able to finally do this. And like I said,
dude, I could go on for hours. Man.
I know.
Thank you, man.
That's what I'm saying. We can't go on for hours. But you know what? I'm going to stop the podcast right here, and then let's just sit around and talk on the phone like we're in seventh grade again. You're laying on your bed, I'll go lay on my bed. We'll talk about the girls that we like, and you know, all that sort of thing.
Hell yeah.
But guys, if you do like the show, feel free to like, share, and subscribe. Check out Sean Versus Wild on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, anywhere you get podcasts, YouTube. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. Hey, like my Facebook page. I'm trying to get people over to the old Facebook page. Like the funeral portrait. Like everything, period, because, you know, that's how we make it in this world, man. Your support helps us. So even if something as simple as a one button click on like, that gets us a long way. Wouldn't you agree, Lee?
110%.
I knew you would. We're talking fucking Lee. I feel like I had to cuss one time in the podcast. So,
oh, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean Versus Wild Podcast.